Freedom vs. the Machine, Geneticists and Their Weapons, June 24, 2021. By John Rappaport. Genetic determinism, the belief that an individual's character, thoughts, and actions are the result of his genes. Freedom means, being free from, and outside of, ironclad cause and effect. Which side of the argument will win? Nothing is riding on this, except the future of the human race. For the past 150 years, genetics has been emerging and taking center stage as the preeminent philosophy of life on planet Earth. For most people, philosophy is of zero concern. They refuse to believe it can influence their lives in any way. However, we currently have the RNA COVID genetic treatments called vaccines, targeting billions of people. According to the bot-off experts, these destructive treatments are working, in machine-like fashion, to protect us from a phantom virus. The genetics on which the vaccines are based occupy a distinct philosophic position. Our thoughts and actions are the effects of our genes. Scientists can interfere with that structure and replace it with another genetic framework, which in turn will impose new all-consuming actions, thoughts, and biological alterations upon us. One new machine taking over from an older machine. But there has never been a genetic cure for any disease. All attempts to prove that a disease stems from genes have failed. In this sense, genetics is a long con, both scientifically and philosophically. Of course, the scientists will never admit this. They're dedicated to tinkering and experimenting, until they get it right. Veteran journalist Celia Farber describes one such experiment. Jesse Galsinger was 18 years old when he volunteered for a clinical trial at Penn State to test the effect on GT, gene therapy, on a rare metabolic disorder called OTC deficiency. Within hours of being infused with corrective genes encased in weakened adenovirus, Jesse suffered multiple organ failure, and days later, his blood almost totally coagulated, swollen beyond recognition, and brain dead, he was taken off life support. Just another day at the office for the funders and researchers. They're working with billions of dollars and a vision of the future. Nothing must stand in their way. Here is one of those visions, expressed by Gregory Stock, former director of the program in medicine, technology, and society at the UCLA School of Medicine. Even if half the world's species were lost, during genetic experiments, enormous diversity would still remain. When those in the distant future look back on this period of history, they will likely see it not as the era when the natural environment was impoverished, but as the age when a plethora of new forms, some biological, some technological, some a combination of the two, burst onto the scene. You need to understand that behind all this envisioning and experimenting, there is the solid conviction that freedom and free will are illusions that don't exist. Therefore, all experiments are permitted, since they simply substitute one determinism for another, one machine for another. Life itself is viewed as nothing more than a pattern, a structure. Huxley's Brave New World wasn't really a radical departure from the emerging genetic science of his time. It was a description of better genetic programming, carried to a logical conclusion. Humans would be fully outfitted with a biology that made them content and satisfied with their designated positions in life. There was the thunder and the lightning. Humans genetically conditioned for specific roles, and also conditioned to accept those roles beyond the possibility of rebellion. What about the centuries of struggle and war and blood to establish political freedom? What about the Magna Carta and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and its amendments? For the genetic philosophers, all that history is waste and meaningless garbage, since freedom does not exist. I'm not talking about a small bunch of crazy philosophers closeted in a cellar and spinning fantasies. These people are carrying banners of the new world among the most elite globalists. The entire fake pandemic narrative, starting with a lie that researchers discovered a new virus, was launched in order to open a door for RNA genetic technology. Yes, there were other reasons, but gene tech was central. Coming up, we will see new genetic treatments called vaccines. And drugs based on that tech. Behind that, programs to make deeper and deeper genetic changes in humans. The cover story for genetic research and experimentation is, we're trying to cure disease. The truth, machine minds are trying to convert other minds into machines. What do contemporary philosophers have in their arsenal to combat this assault? Here is an example from Thomas Nagel, a professor at New York University. Even if determinism, the inevitable chain of cause and effect, isn't true for everything that happens, even if some things just happen without being determined by causes that were there in advance, it would still be very significant if everything we did were determined before we did it. However free you might feel when choosing between fruit and cake, or between two candidates in an election, you would really be able to make only one choice in those circumstances, though if the circumstances or your desires had been different, you would have chosen differently. Really? That's it? Professor Nagel somehow knows there is no such thing as free will? Well, if that's the case, he wrote those words because he had to. Because of the very determinism he describes, he had no choice, and people reading those words of his think about them in a way that is also predetermined. The whole business is a puppet show and means absolutely nothing. The philosophy of determinism is, when you scratch the surface, a philosophy of nihilism. Nothing means anything. And its perpetrators aren't bothered in the least. They're quite content to stand on their absurd pretensions, while hard scientists inject populations with genes. So much for academia as the guardians of civilization. Most of them are weak sisters. I wouldn't give a nickel for a gaggle of them. Each one of us makes free choices every day of his life. Taking freedom into your mind implies working on a canvas as big and grand as you want to make it. I'll take the flaming poetry of Thomas Paine, December 23, 1776. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country, but he that stands by it now, deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly, it is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Finally, for now, in America, a country founded on the idea of freedom, a country that fought a devastating civil war over slavery, can you find one college or university that, between the ratification of the Constitution and now, has taught a year-long course, year after year, called individual freedom? This would be a course in which the history of the struggle for freedom is covered, philosophic and scientific writings about freedom are covered, and, most importantly, the students actively participate, in order to shape their own concepts of freedom that will endure for the rest of their lives. Can you point to one such course, individual freedom, regularly taught, at one college? I can't. What does this tell you? Since the beginning of America, powerful forces have been at work to deny, refute, reject, and collapse the very premise on which the nation was based. Has any student in America ever been awarded a PhD in individual freedom? I can't find one. I see you've just founded a space travel group. I'd be very interested in joining. I assume you cover all aspects of space travel. Rockets, ships, navigation, elements of survival during long voyages, colonization on distant planets, the fantastic marvels of these adventures. Actually, no. We study the habits and tasks of ants. Their nests, hierarchy, division of labor, the biology of communal sharing, the ant genome, the virtues of overall genetic programming in achieving day-to-day goals of the colony. I see. So you're quite insane. No. We know exactly what we're doing and why. The link to this article posted on John's blog is here, with sources.